The champions have started their title defence in style.
Gets his head down and drives up towards the edge of the penalty area. Still has it back onto the right foot. Still going here. Oh, and he's found the finish as well at the end of it all. It's 4-0. Bayern are running away with this.
However, it was far from plain sailing for the 13-time winners.
Chance on the edge of the area. Lovely little back hill. Solomon for number three. What a goal. What a scoreline. Can you believe it?
While in Amsterdam, a slice of luck gave Liverpool the points.
Inside the penalty area, Mane with a shot, oh, it's an own goal! Liverpool lead, Tagliafico puts through his own goal, he knew nothing about it.
There were also impressive wins for Atalanta, Olympiacos and Manchester City. All the best analysis and reaction coming up right here on Matchday Live. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly and we're going to be looking back on another fantastic night of Match Day 1 action at the start of this 2020-21 Champions League season. I'm joined by commentators Phil Blacker and Dan Roebuck. We'll hear from them in a moment. And we have European football expert Chris Parrott. Chris, all in all, a very entertaining Match Day 1.
Most definitely. Topped off on Wednesday with 27 goals across the 8 games. Late winners, late disallowed goals. Shakhtar's under-23 team really went to Real Madrid and won. And all that was after Tuesday night. And what a finish in Paris where Manchester United won with virtually the last kick. Brilliant start. Did we expect anything less, given it's the Champions League?
It's been absolutely brilliant. Less than 2 months away and how we've missed it. We have a tradition of doing three-word match reports on this show, so Phil Blacker is going to get us going for Bayern versus Atletico. Phil, your three-word match report and why?
Well, I think we both referred to the term, Rob, actually, during or after the commentary. I have to go with statement of intent. I think it just sums it up succinctly what we saw from Bayern at the start of this title defence. It was exactly the sort of message that they wanted to send out to the rest of Europe, and they did it in style.
A fine performance. And Dan Roebuck was watching Ajax versus Liverpool. Dan, your three-word match report.
Fortunate, but deserved. Liverpool rode their luck on occasion. Obviously, their goal was an own goal. Klaassen hit the post for Ajax as well. Liverpool struggled to find rhythm. It was a disjointed display. Much was talked about their defence and the fact there was no Matip, no Van Dijk, no Alisson, of course. But we saw Firmino, Sadio Mane and Mo Salah all subbed off the hour. I don't think that was pre-planned. I don't think that Jurgen Klopp was happy about that. But whatever Ajax tried, it just wasn't quite enough. Yes, they got the ball in some good areas, but Adrian wasn't tested anything like as much as he should have been. And in truth, Liverpool just about edged and deserved a hard-fought win.
You can hear more about Tuesday's games in the previous podcast, but for Wednesday night, this is the show, and here are the results from Wednesday night's Champions League action. Group A, Salzburg 2, Lokomotiv Moskva 2. Bayern 4, Atletico 0 in Group B. Inter 2, Gladbach 2, great drama there. Real Madrid 2, Shakhtar 3, the result of the night. Group C, Olympiacos 1, Marseille 0. There was also Manchester City 3, Porto 1 in that section. And Ajax 0, Liverpool 1, as we just heard. Michelin 0, Atalanta 4. So 8 matches you heard there in the Champions League to chew over in the next half an hour. And we'll start with the defending champions, Bayern, hosting Atletico.
Kimmich will return it though. Kingsley Coman, as he stayed onside, finds the finish across the keeper and into the corner. And it's the breakthrough for Bayern. Up and running in defence of the UEFA Champions League. Lewandowski finding Kingsley Coman might be in again. His progress just checked. But it's a fabulous thumping finish from Leon Goretzka. And Bayern have doubled their lead here. Body's in the way, it's partially cleared. Oh, it's thundered back into goal though. It's a brilliant strike from Tolisso to make it three. The champions 3-0 in front and heading for the 3 points surely on match day one. Gets his head down and drives up towards the edge of the penalty area. Still has it back onto the right foot. Still going here. Oh, and he's found the finish as well at the end of it all. It's 4-0. Bayern are running away with this.
They did run away with it. Great win for Bayern. Phil Blacker and Chris Parrott with me, Rob Daly. And given there was no Serge Gnabry and no Lewandowski on the score sheet, that was some performance, Phil, from Bayern.
It was all-round team performance. Everybody contributed, including Lewandowski, despite unable to get on the score sheet, which ends, I think, his record-equalling run of scoring in consecutive games in the group stage. When he was substituted off late on, you could see him looking fairly forlorn, but that was about the only disappointment for Bayern on the night, because, they were absolutely outstanding. Atletico, I think, came and made a statement of their own early on in the game that they weren't just going to sit back and defend. And for the majority of the opening half an hour or so, they were Bayern's equal. But once that opening goal went in from Kingsley Coman, and it was a goal of real quality, it needed something at that stage to find a way beyond this Atletico defence. We know they're so well drilled traditionally under Diego Simeone, and Joshua Kimmich found it with a ball, and Kingsley Coman provided it as well with the way that he took it down and just coolly converted it into the corner kick. And that really did seem to change the mentality of the match almost, and the second for Bayern so important just before half time as well to give them that air of authority. Goretzka deserving of his goal, another fine all-round performance in the midfield. They were the standouts really wherever you looked for Bayern, and they just went on to, I think, keep Atletico at arm's length for much of the second half, and then took their chances when they came about. Tolisso's goal was a wonderful strike from distance, and then equally spectacular was the fourth goal in the manner of it. It was a fine through ball to pick out the run of Kingsley Coman, but he still had about half the length of the field to go before advancing into the penalty area, holding off two or three defenders and finding the finish as well. The man who started the scoring fittingly had the final say in the scoring, although at that stage, you know, there was still a quarter of the game to go, and it looked like Atletico may be heading for their heaviest ever defeat in Europe. As it is, this equals their biggest loss that they've ever suffered in continental competition. There aren't too many teams that do this to Diego Simeone's side, which only, I think, adds to the aura surrounding Bayern at the moment and the impressive nature of this performance. As opening nights go, so soon, of course, after lifting the trophy in Lisbon, they could not have asked for more.
No, they were immense, Rob, and each finish was better than the last. It really was an exhibition of how to put the ball in the back of the net. And, you know, we've said it's only a couple of months since they lifted the trophy, but actually it wasn't a new look by them, but a lot of the players that started in the Champions League final didn't start this evening. Jerome Boateng didn't start. Alphonso Davies didn't start. Thiago Alcantara isn't at the club. Serge Gnabry was missing. So, you know, it's only 50-odd days since they were champions of Europe, but it was, in a way, it was a different collection of players tonight who were equally as impressive. And if Bayern weren't the team to beat, which I think in most people's eyes they were before this evening, well, they definitely are now. They've just gone and thrashed Atletico.
Atletico suffer their joint worst defeat in the competition, a real performance from Hansi Flick's side. I suppose as well, encouragingly for Bayern, Phil, will be the fact that Kingsley Coman performed so well, because, you know, they signed Leroy Sané, out injured tonight, Serge Gnabry unavailable through illness. We think that's the front three with Müller supporting and Lewandowski. And without either of them, they've taken apart, I think, you know, we can universally agree, Europe's best defence of the last decade, the team that have defended better than any other in Europe.
Yeah, certainly traditionally, which, you know, the point that Hansi Flick was making before the game, that it was an honour to start their defence against a side with such proven pedigree and experience themselves in this competition, particularly defensively. But I think you're right to highlight Kingsley Coman, because he does seem to have stepped up again. He's definitely not a first choice pick, but he's you know, developing a real knack, isn't he, in this competition, the hero of the final, and now making another hugely impressive contribution. The fact that they could bring off the bench Alphonso Davies in a more advanced role. Douglas Costa, of course, has added to their attacking options in those sort of wide attacking roles as well, since his move just before the deadline. So many options in this squad when Sané gets fit again. Serge Gnabry will be added back into the equation, you would imagine, very shortly. It really is an awesome pool of talent to pick from, which he can mix and match a little bit with the games coming thick and fast. I think it's why they went into the market. The players themselves, I hear, were keen for the squad to be strengthened before that transfer deadline, given all the competitions that they're involved in, how quickly they're coming about defending all of the silverware from last season. But as a unit, I think, you know, whoever plays, Kingsley Coman was a case in point tonight, steps up, makes a major contribution and makes a case for further inclusion. It's going to be difficult for Hansi Flick further down the line to pick this starting 11, but it's a problem most coaches in Europe would love to have.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we saw again just how vital and excellent Leon Goretzka has come. And I think I mentioned it in commentary, I think of all the players that Hansi Flick seems to have improved since he took over almost a year ago, Goretzka will be pretty high up that list. For Atleti, Rob, I thought they tried to be a bit more adventurous at the start of the game, but you just wonder where they go from here. They that they were missing Diego Costa. Luis Suarez looked lively. João Felix, we didn't really see enough of him, I don't think. And, you know, already you look now to next Tuesday, Salzburg at home, who are a very youthful, very energetic team. If Atleti were to lose that game, all of a sudden, you know, their possible path to the last 16 looks tough. Losing to Bayern, almost everyone has done that in the last year. They've been so good. But I think the manner of the defeat will lead certainly to some questions of Diego Simeone's side.
So Bayern, 4-0 winners against Atletico tonight. Elsewhere in that group, of course, what a thrilling game between Salzburg and Lokomotiv in Austria. Salzburg falling behind, having dominated the game against Lokomotiv. Edo with a header from a corner. So Boschlei with a brilliant strike, one of the goals of the night, just before half-time to make it 1-1, an effort that rattled underneath the crossbar. Zlatko Junuzovic, 5 minutes after the restart, but Salzburg ahead, his shot deflected in. But Lisa Kovic off the bench with a header at the back post to make it 2-2. And I think Lokomotiv, Chris, will be pretty happy with that. That's not too bad for them.
No, it's not. And you know, they were competitive last season in another very difficult section when, you know, they ran some very good teams, very, very close. Of course, they changed coach, the great Yuri Semin, leaving in the summer. A point away in the Champions League is never a bad result. And certainly, given that you've scored the fourth goal in that match, I think they'll head back to Moscow very happy, and they will... Well, I was going to say they'll look forward to hosting Bayern on Tuesday, but if they saw any of the match, maybe they'll have a little bit of trepidation.
Remember, all of these teams back in action in this competition in 6 days' time. OK, let's turn our attention now to Amsterdam, where Ajax hosted fellow European heavyweights Liverpool in a brilliant Group D opener.
Now it's with Quincy Promise, looks to side-footed here for David Neres. Can he go for goal? It's Promise! Terrific start from Adrian. Here is Mane breaking forward over on the left-hand side, inside the penalty area. Mane with a shot, oh, it's an own goal! Liverpool lead. Taliafico puts through his own goal. He knew nothing about it. Curling left-footed ball towards Tadic here, who could be in. It's Tadic over the head of Adrian and off the line by Fabinho. What a clearance. Hoisted inside the area towards Wijnaldum and the header just over the crossbar. Closest that Liverpool have come in this second half. Adrian comes, doesn't get it, and he's forced over the crossbar by the substitute. Big, big chance for Ajax.
But they would not get their goal, Ajax, and it is a huge win for Liverpool on the road on match day one. Of course, their first game really without Virgil van Dijk injured in the Merseyside derby with Everton at the weekend. Dan Roebuck watched this one. Dan, I thought we were going to see loads of goals, but it seems these two ended up cancelling each other out of the Johan Cruyff Arena.
I think they did a little bit. We had 28 shots all told on target. Liverpool 6 and Ajax 5 in the end. But there weren't that many clear-cut opportunities. And I referenced it right at the end of commentary, really. When you look at how Ajax play in the Eredivisie, and Chris will know this, they generally play a lot more on the front foot. They will press a lot higher up, and they will play with an extra attacking player. Traore played up front in the weekend win over Heerenveen, with Kudus just in behind, and Tadic and Neres both played. That was an attacking four. Well, Traore gets benched for this game, and Daley Blind is moved in to midfield. Now, that's a defensive move in anyone's book, and unfortunately, we didn't see the best of Ajax. And I'm sure that Erik ten Hag will look back at this and think it was an opportunity missed, because we know that Liverpool were shorn of defenders. There was no Matip, there's no Virgil van Dijk, there's no Alisson as well. Fabinho and Gomez, although they've been on the pitch together, obviously, because Fabinho has played the vast majority of games in midfield since he came to the club, and Gomez has been in and out of the side over the course of the last few years, but they hadn't played as a partnership. And there were some nervy moments early on when it was suggested maybe that they would be gettable, but you just sensed that Ajax didn't play with the same ambition that they might have done. Certainly if it was an Eredivisie game, certainly if it was a little bit later on in the competition. So a certain extent, Ajax's approach to the game, I think, helped Liverpool. The pressure wasn't really on Fabinho and Gomez over the course of the 90 minutes. And yes, they rode their luck a little bit. Fabinho with that wonderful overhead kick to deny Tadic, and Klaassen's effort that struck the post. Adrian made some good stops as well, but still looked a little bit nervous. And I'm sure that Liverpool supporters will be desperate for Alisson to come back. He's out with that shoulder injury. injury, of course, and I'll certainly miss the game against Michelin coming up next week. But I think Liverpool still did enough to win, and Jurgen Klopp is probably going to be disappointed with his strikers more than anything else, because although Mane, I think, did okay, we didn't see enough of Firmino on his 50th appearance in European football, or indeed Salah as well. And incidentally, Mane, when he came off, there was an ice pack applied to his right knee, so that could be a further issue for Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool going forward. But it was a disjointed display from Liverpool tonight.
Interesting that Dan mentioned Mohamed Kudus, because he was forced off early in that game, Robert, and I think the way that Ajax play, he only joined this summer from Danish football, he has made an enormous impact, and he's very central to their energy and their press, and losing him was a huge blow early on. He's, as I said, completely central to Ajax's whole game plan at the moment, and sad for him on his Champions League debut, and I wonder if that had an impact that they couldn't then change the momentum, although they had chances, including for Ekelenkamp right at the end. So they didn't look too dispirited as they left the pitch, Ajax, but we have seen this recently, that they play well, very well sometimes in games, but they often then lose them. We've seen that quite a lot recently in the Champions League.
First meeting of the side since the 1966-67 European Cup, which is hard to believe. Let's hear from the Liverpool manager, Jurgen Klopp, on what was a tough test for his team.
In the end, if it's not your absolute best day, then you have to put a proper shift in, and the boys did that again, and I like that. These dirty wins are really, really important and help us probably more than now an easy win, which was not possible against Ajax, but so I'm really fine. We came through, I think no injuries, so should be fine. Got used a little bit more to each other, had to change too much, of course, in the short period to have proper, that everything works properly, let me say like this. But it was, the medical department made pretty much the lineup, and then we had a few players we could choose from. It was still a good lineup, of course, but we were not in very important moments not used to each other, and that's why it looked from time to time a bit rusty. But that's okay. We have to win it. It's Champions League. First away win. Great. I'm really pleased.
Gets through a lot of ideas, doesn't he? That's been a minute-long clip, Jurgen Klopp. Let's hear from the Liverpool vice captain tonight, James Milner.
Yeah, it was always important to start well. We did that, a tough away game as well, first up, so that's a bonus. And, you know, they're a very good team, well organised, they play good football. And, you know, we've had a up and down week or so as well, so it was important to bounce back with a good performance. We did that, and I expected nothing less from this group of players. You know, I thought it was a good team performance. It was very tough out there. They're a good team. It was a physical battle as well. Conditions were tricky, so, you know, it was a bit like an old-fashioned English game, really, and we managed to grind out the win, and that was the most important thing tonight, just make sure we get the 3 points.
So Liverpool do the job. How damaging a result do you think that is, Dan, in terms of Ajax's status in the group? Because we've seen Atalanta get a huge win, 4-0 at Michelin tonight.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, Atalanta were fantastic in the competition last season. Normally, you might suggest that Ajax would be second favourites here, but the way that Atalanta have started does put a lot of pressure on. It's always suggested that you can't really afford to lose any of your home games. You want to win them, and if not draw, at least pick up something. And I think they will be disappointed that they didn't get something out of the game. And if you're an Ajax fan and you can look at some metrics, I've just seen some expected goal stats that suggested that Ajax should have won this game, although there was not that much in it. But yeah, it's a blow, but it is only match day one, and we've seen teams lose games, lose group games, Liverpool themselves, and go deep into the competition. But yeah, it's certainly a setback for Ajax, but we know that we can't rule them out just yet. And I heard Chris talk about Anthony as well as Kudus earlier, and Anthony missed out. He's got 3 goals in the Eredivisie, came to prominence in the Toulon tournament for the Brazil junior side, and looks a real prospect. And with him fit and well coming back into the side, Ajax is certainly going to be challenging, you would have thought, to qualify from this section.
And I think it's important to note that they are a work in progress. You know, they lost two more of their real superstars in the summer in Donny van der Beek and Hakim Ziyech. So they've got a really young, exciting team, Ajax, again. And I think as this group stage progresses, and they will take a lot from tonight, you'd expect they will be there or thereabouts for a top two finish again.
Elsewhere in that group, we'll come to that in a moment, actually, because we just heard from the Ajax captain, their midfielder, Dusan Tadic.
After game is immediately, for sure, big disappointment, especially when you miss so many chances. I think then would be different game. I think also Liverpool have some chances, but we miss too many chances. If you want to win against teams like Liverpool or to take point, you need to score these kind of chances. Yeah, will be fight between Liverpool, Atalanta and us, I think, and for first two places, and then we will see what happened.
Well, he mentioned Atalanta there because they've picked up a massive result tonight. They won 4-0 away at Midtjylland, making their Champions League debut. Of course, the Danish champions who've come to the fore in the last 5 years or so. 4-0 it finished. I mean, we know we're going to get goals from Atalanta, but there were some absolute bangers in there tonight, Chris, from them.
Amazing. I mean, two finishes in particular. I think the one from Papu Gomez to make it 2-0 after 36 minutes. Absolutely pinged it, almost broke the net. And then Alexei Miranchuk, who they've added this summer as if they needed any more clever attacking players. Well, the Russia international has joined, and it was a lovely finish with almost a curled chip, a bit like if you were playing golf and trying to get one out of the bunker, beautifully into the top corner. And Atalanta were fantastic. Midtjylland did miss two very good chances on their debuts, you mentioned, at 1-0, and it could have been very different. But Atalanta are here to stay, and you mentioned it earlier on. The goals they've scored this season, they are going to be delightfully entertaining. And every time I looked at that game, Papu Gomez had a massive smile on his face. And that sums him up, and it sums up the way Atalanta play their football.
Next up for Atalanta, they take on Ajax next week. Liverpool will host Midtjylland in the Champions League. Let's go to Group B now. Real Madrid got their campaign underway against Shakhtar Donetsk at the Estadio Alfredo Di Stefano earlier today. Watching the drama there was Richard Kaufman.
With Dentinho now forward from Solomon to Kornienko. He's got Solomon in support if he needs him. Kornienko going alone here in edge of the area. Shoot, saved by the goalkeeper, and it's back in. I'm not sure if that's an own goal from Varane or in from Dentinho. Chance on the edge of the area. Lovely little back hill. Solomon for number three. What a goal! What a scoreline! Can you believe it? Mana Solomon makes it Real Madrid 0, Shakhtar Donetsk 3. Modric teeing up a shot, right footed. Oh, that's a brilliant strike from Luka Modric. And maybe there is a way back in this from Real Madrid. Chance for Real Madrid and a goal for Real Madrid. First touch for Vinicius Junior. He's just come off the bench. One touch, right foot, and Real Madrid are smack bang in this game now. Valverde shoots and it's gone through. Deflected on its way. Valverde scores the goal for Real Madrid.
There's a VAR check here. This might be ruled out, you know. The goal review is saying that it has been ruled out, no goal.
Yeah, Real Madrid thought they had their equaliser, but it was correctly ruled out. And what a result for Shakhtar. We talked about it on the live show, Chris. Numerous injuries, loads of players out there. They did quite a few tests, positive tests for COVID-19. They cobbled together a squad, a load of unknowns on the bench, and they go and win at the record European champions.
I don't say this lightly. I think it is one of the best group stage victories of all time. This is a team without 10 first-team players who fielded 8 players under the age of 23, and they're 3-0 up away at Real Madrid. I mean, it's unbelievable. Tete, who was probably their star man, one of their 20-year-olds, said after the game, "I used to play with them on video games." And he's not talking about his teammates. He's talking about Modric, and he's talking about, you know, Varane, and he's talking about Marcelo, and he's talking about Thibaut Courtois. This was one of the...
He was brilliant.
He was one of the great shots.
That was a statement performance from him on an individual level.
Completely.
You know, Champions League.
You know, we've seen over the last 10 years, you know, this conveyor belt of, in particular, Brazilian talent that goes to the east of Ukraine and then quite often then arrives at some of the real top clubs. And Shakhtar always play in this incredibly entertaining way. It was impressive to go 3-0 up. In the second half, they conceded twice and, as we heard, almost then threw away the advantage. But they also had a goal disallowed. They could have got 5 or 6. Yeah. And that result blows open this group.
This is what Zinedine Zidane said after. And of course, of the weekend, he wasn't happy as they lost to promoted side Cadiz and made 4 subs at halftime. He said, "I did not see the team as I wanted. And when you do not see the team as you wanted, it is your fault. So he's taking the blame tonight, Phil Blacker. What do you reckon to that?
Yeah, I think he almost kind of has to in the circumstances to make it easier to move on from. But it's a huge blow, isn't it? And how they respond now from this is going to be absolutely fascinating, because we all know the pressure in the situation that he's in whenever any result goes against him. So to follow up what happened at the weekend with this defeat, it's going to be a huge test, I think, of the grip that he has on the dressing room. His authority has never really been in doubt because of his status at the club and who he is. But it's a massive challenge now. And having made those post-match comments, he's definitely going to need that response next time out.
And they have the Clasico against Barcelona at the weekend as well. Elsewhere in that group, brilliant game. I say brilliant game, brilliant half between Inter and Borussia Mönchengladbach. There wasn't much to talk about by the opening 45 minutes at San Siro. And then it came to life. Lukaku, 4 minutes after the restart, smashing in the opening goal for Inter. Then a penalty given away by Arturo Vidal for a challenge on Thuram. Bente Baini got it past Handanovic, the best penalty saver in Serie A history as of last weekend. Then Jonas Hofmann, 2-1, 84th minute. Thuram goal slipped it in. We waited about 3 minutes as they checked the offside. Goal given, Lukaku scores 90th minute from a corner. And on Romelu Lukaku, we'll talk about how great this is for Gladbach. For Lukaku now, scored in 9 successive European games, 40 goals in 56 appearances for Inter. What a signing.
What a signing, and he's been directly involved in their last 6 Champions League goals, I believe. Absolutely phenomenal. A master finisher. Both his goals were easy, if you like, but he's always in the right spot in and around the penalty area, and Antonio Conte loves him, and you can see why. That was a blistering second half at San Siro.
Brilliant stuff. Gladbach's return to the Champions League after a 4-year absence ends in a draw. But what a group with Madrid and Shakhtar as well. Let's go to Group C now. Manchester City 3-1 winners against Porto. Let's hear from the man who scored the crucial second goal, a wonderful free kick, İlkay Gündoğan.
I have to admit, I don't practice it a lot, but there are certain distances where I feel comfortable with the free kick. And I thought that was the perfect distance for me. I had a little discussion with Raheem, but then I was quite confident to take it, and thanks to him, he gave me the opportunity, and obviously I'm very happy that I could score.
We've seen City have wobbly match day ones before, and it looked like it might go that way when Ruben Dias gifted the ball to Luis Dias, who scored a brilliant individual goal for Porto, but they did well to turn it around, and as you mentioned in the show, Chris, Pep Guardiola looked very relieved, very relieved to get that win.
He looked relieved, and he looked incredibly passionate as well, which for match day one was something about it that made me think he really wants this season in this competition, because so much was written about how they exited to Lyon only a couple of months ago. And I think had Porto got something tonight, there would have been further questions. And, you know, it was the way Manchester City put so much pressure on their defenders, not just to defend because they're sometimes isolated, but also to play this incredible football, expansive football from the back. And Ruben Dias gave it away, as you mentioned. And I think had Porto won the game or got a point, all of those questions would have been there. Can you really do it in the Champions League football playing that attractive style? But the fact they've turned it round, they've won 3-1, Ferran Torres has scored. All is happy in the Guardiola camp.
Certainly is elsewhere in that group, and I can't believe we've left this till last, but Olympiacos are leading, have beaten Marseille by 1-0. A 91st minute winner from Ahmed Hassan, made by the former Marseille player Mathieu Valbuena. A fine cross into him. Olympiacos with a great win, Chris.
Great win, and it sets them up really well. And Marseille's return to the competition, they'll be disappointed to have conceded so late, but a really good centre-forwards header that was.
OK, let's get some man of the matches then, first of all, to Dan Roback. Ajax, Liverpool, Fabinho getting a lot of love.
Fabinho did really well at the back, but I'm going to go for Andy Robertson. Created 5 chances tonight. No teammate has created more than 1 over the course of the 90.
OK, Phil Blacker, watching Bayern tonight. You've got to pick a man of the match.
Yeah, plenty of candidates, but got to give it to the 2-goal Kingsley Coman. His second alone was absolutely sensational.
And Chris, you've got 6 other games. You get to pick one outstanding performer from them. Lots to select from. That's a tough one, actually.
It has to be a Shakhtar youngster, not Tete. Marcos Antonio.
Okay, very good. Gents, thank you very much for your company tonight on Matchday Live. What a brilliant night it has been. That Shakhtar win, that statement performance from Bayern, late goals at Inter and at Olympiacos as well, City getting their win and Atalanta impressing. That's all we have time for. We will be back next Tuesday, the 27th of October from 6:30 CET for live commentary of Lokomotiv Moscow versus Bayern and Marseille City. So make sure you join us for that. And don't forget to download our podcast shortly after every match night using your favourite podcast provider. But for now, from me and the rest of the UEFA Champions League Matchday Live team, it is goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.